Malka? Yes, and come on, yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we are starting on this deeper Zohar class, and the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parasha Lech Lecha, section 18, and we're starting with verse 157, and we'll start with the Lishem Yichud. Lishem Yehud, Kumshabri Tu Ishkinte, Bit Hiluver, Himud, Hilu, Hiluver, Himu. Leakta, Lishem, Yudhe Bavavhe, Behuda, Shalim, Bishem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sof Torah Mitzvah, Vaino Amadunai Lohinu, Elena Maseya, Deno Kanane, Elena Maseya, Deno Kananehu. Pasuk 157. Ish tekach deit kir siyayo, lekar siyayo, wekar siyayo, lega beila'a alaihu, weka tistakel, bedargin dishkach raza dechakim ta, behai mila bekolahu. Hakmeta leita beka, bahai gavna milin satimin. So there is a throne for a throne, because the nefesh is a throne for the ruach, which is also a throne, and a throne for the highest level, because the ruach is a throne for the neshama, which is high above them both. And when you study these grades, you find in this subject the secret of wisdom. In other words, you learn how the light of Hakma is drawn by the Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama, and everything is in accordance with the higher wisdom in order to achieve certain mysteries. My commentary. The light of Hakma is drawn using the four phases of creation. And this is the inner wisdom. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Brandon. So the secret for hello.
Go ahead.
When we talk about the secrets, is that the Zadi King that teaches us in our dream state, or is that the Torah or the secrets of the Zohar?
The secret of wisdom is how does wisdom get drawn down into Malchut?
Is that wisdom coming from Bina?
Well, it has to flow through Bina, because Chachma doesn't come into Malchut without going through the other nine levels of Torah. What is the four phases?
I want to be revealed. We start off.
Right. But I'm not asking for the specifics. I'm not asking for the specifics. I'm asking for what are the four phases? They are the process described by the Sephirot. The four phases is the process of creation. Whether you are forming something out of an existing thing, or you're creating something new, in our physical world, it requires a process. And that process is always the four phases. Always the four steps represented by the idea of Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. Those are the four phases. Those steps are described, Chachma is described as the light wants to be revealed, and Chachma says, as a vessel, go ahead, I will reveal you. Come on in. Bina says, now that the light is in the vessel of Chachma, Chachma's vessel changes, and it becomes Bina. It becomes, I want to share also. The essence of Chachma, the essence of the light is to share. So when the light comes into the vessel takes on the attribute of the light, which is to share. So Bina being the second phase is I want to reveal also. And the vessel, through its wisdom, creates these vessels that are that compose their antin. But it creates the vessels with a desire to receive what Bina has to share. And what Bina has to share is not what the light is. It's a different aspect of the light. It's the light with the consciousness of an ego. And so Zeranpin wants what Bina has to share. Well, we also call Zeranpin Tiferet. We interchange the names. So Tiferet represents all the different levels of Zeranpin. But then Tiferet, or Zeranpin, is now filled with this light, but it says to itself, wait a second, this light is less than what I had, because this is the same vessel that was Chasma, but it's been changed. And now it realizes, it wakes up and says, I don't have that same intensity of light. And so it says, I want that light of the Chokhmah back. I want wisdom. So we have these four levels of consciousness. We have these four vessels, but they're really the same vessel. So how does Chokhmah come into Malchut? What makes Malchut different than Zerampin? The intensity of the desire to receive. What makes Zerampin different from Bina? Because Bina wants what Chokhmah has. Zerampin wants what Bina has to share. But it's the same vessel. So you have this whole idea, how does the light of Chokhmah, how does wisdom, whatever wisdom is, flow into Malchut? How does it get revealed in Malchut? It doesn't just come down those lines in the Tree of Life glyph. It has to have a process. Chokhmah, whatever's in Chokhmah, has to flow into Malchut. But how does it flow into Malchut? It requires Malchut to desire it. Because if there's no desire, there's coercion. When in phase one, the light is saying, I want to be revealed, it doesn't just come into Chokhmah. It asks Chokhmah, will you reveal me? Because there cannot be coercion. So Chokhmah can't just come into Malchut. It has to go through these four steps. But when you realize that the four steps are really the same vessel, but have been changed to create a desire. Because there's not really a desire in Chokhmah. It's a vessel, but it doesn't have desire. I'll reveal you because it's no skin off my nose to reveal you. It's no effort on my part. I open the door and you flow in. But when it gets to Malchut, Malchut says, wait a second. I don't want these changes. I want the real thing. I want what I had and I want it back now. That's desire. I don't like chocolate cake. My mother bakes me chocolate cake. And she wants me to have it. I don't like it. Am I going to eat it? Oh, I have a desire to make her happy. So I'll eat the chocolate cake because it makes her happy. How intense is that desire versus if she makes cherry pie, who I truly love? yes, I'm going to eat the cherry pie automatically because I love it. But am I going to also make my mother happy because I'm eating the cherry pie? Sure. She's going to enjoy watching me eat it. Will she enjoy it more than if I'm eating cherry pie, than if I'm eating chocolate cake? There's a process in the physical world. And that process has to be gone through. And that is the wisdom. That is the secret of wisdom that came into Malchut, because Malchut wants back what it once had. That's where Malchut says, I'm really Chachma. I'm really phase one, because that's where I was happiest. That's where I was more complete. Now it's totally clear, right? I'm saying that tongue in cheek.
Every time the four phases, it helps. It really does. So,
I'm sorry, you broke up. Say it again.
I said every time you go through the four phases, it really helps. Because it's not an easy concept, even though it seems like a simple concept.
And that's where we get the adage, it's always easy, but never, it's always simple, but never easy.
Mm-hmm.
Malka, you wanted to say something?
I'm just going to say ditto.
So in reality, when we want, we desire something to come to pass, our desire plays a big part. I mean, that's the feminine waters. How bad do we want it? How strongly
exactly.
do we want it?
How strong is our desire? Why hasn't Mashiach come? Why hasn't Mashiach come? Because the majority of human beings don't want to give up their comfort zones. They don't have a desire for Mashiach. If they knew what it was, they'd have a desire for it. But where's the taste? Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. He ate that first bite. It was no problem. It was delicious. It was everything that he could have ever dreamed of. Now that he knows what it is, does he want it back? Or is it chocolate cake for Hanoch? What is Mashiach to you? What is Mashiach to every human being? Is it chocolate cake to Hanoch, or is it cherry cake, cherry pie to Hanoch? Is he hungry because he hasn't eaten in 3,000 years? And he remembers the taste of Mashiach, or he's forgotten it? What is the ultimate level of wisdom? To have no death in the world. Simple. All you have to do to have no death in the world is desire that there be no death in the world. But what happens when you tell a friend, You don't have to die. They want to lock you up. You're a lunatic. They don't have a desire to not die. So what is wisdom and what is the secret of wisdom and how are they different? And that's what it means to contemplate. We use the words, secret of wisdom, Chachma. We use the words, but we don't appreciate what the words are teaching us.
Okay, I'd like to make a comment, and it might be that it would be something we'd discuss tonight, the question and answers. But as you were giving your example just now, it's always been, well, for a long, long time, the desire to see the temple built in our generation. And then during the week, I got to thinking, oh, especially since we've, in our Book of Daniel studies, the negative system wants to see it built too, so they can put the abomination of desolations in it. So that's just kind of...
Welcome. Baruch Hashem.
So how does that fit in these stages?
It's exactly where it fits in the stages. I'm now going to discuss with you something I have never discussed with you because it when we first started to learn together, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, you indicated to me that you had been exposed to the Temple Institute, correct?
Yes.
And you think fairly highly of the Temple Institute. You found good people there, correct?
Yes.
The halakha is very clear, but not enforced. If you take money from an idolater, that money has the consciousness of the idolater associated with it. Can the temple be built with money that comes from an idol worshiper?
No.
Now, you arrived at this logic, not what I just said, but you arrived at this question. How do we reconcile pure motives, whatever pure motives mean, to motives that are less than pure? Most of the time, people will answer the question, money is money. It doesn't have the consciousness of who gave it. But what does the Kabbalah constantly teach you? Everything is consciousness. If you give a poor person a dollar, and it's meaningless to you, you're doing it out of habit, can that poor person truly use that dollar, or is he going to lose it? Was it? It was lost to you because the consciousness you gave it with isn't a real desire, is it? consciousness, can we go around 24 hours a day, or let's say even 8 hours a day, can we go around 8 hours a day and think, how much do I desire doing whatever I'm doing at that next minute? There's a section of the Torah that says, how long does a man need to work in the day? And it says, you pray three times a day. It takes you an hour to prepare to pray. It takes you an hour to pray. And then it takes you an hour to appreciate the experience of the prayer. Three times a day, 9 hours of prayer. So how much do you need to work? How much time is there left in the day to work? 9 hours of prayer? 8 hours of sleep? 3 hours of eating? An hour and a half to eat during the day? It's 18 and a half hours. So all you have to work is 5.5 hours of every day. When they actually do go through the process, it's something like 3 hours a day to work. All you have to do is work 3 hours a day and you will have all of your sustenance. That's because you're creating your sustenance with the 9 hours of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way it looks like in our world. What do you desire? How many times during the day did you honestly think about Mashiach coming into your life today? I'm not being critical. I'm demonstrating as best I can how far we are from bringing Mashiach. In the desert, did people want Mashiach? Of course. But did they know they wanted Mashiach? No, because they already had Moses within their midst. But they didn't know he was Mashiach. He was just Jochebed's son, Aaron's brother, Miriam's brother. He was some guy God sent him to take them out of Egypt. But he was just another man. Did they really want Mashiach? Did they really appreciate Mashiach? And it's not they, it's me. It's you, it's all of us. Come on in. So are we going to have the same subject to discuss tonight or something else? We will find out in a few hours.
Okay.
Shalom to all. Thank you for the question.
Shalom.
Or should I say thank you for the soapbox?
I just say thank you for the glasses. all the growing to do.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you. Bye.